him they compelled to go with them, that he might bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of a skull, and by the way, the word Calvary also means skull, they gave him wine to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted it, he would not drink. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments among them, casting lots. And they sat and watched him there. John chapter 2. Our Savior has just cleansed the temple for the first time at the beginning of his ministry, and the authorities are indignant. And in verse 18 they say, "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews therefore said, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou raise it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he spake this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now chapter 10, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep." Verse 17. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one taketh away from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment received I from my Father." And this word power is authority. "I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it again." Who gave you this authority? He tells us, "This commandment received I from my Father." And now chapter 19, verse 19:23. What is so interesting is that whereas briefly Matthew tells us about the garments of Christ, John gives us some details. Verse 23. "The soldiers, therefore, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made 4 parts, to each soldier a part, and also the coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said, therefore, to one another, 'Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be.' That the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, 'They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots.' These things therefore the soldiers did. But they were standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' Then saith he to the disciple, 'Behold thy mother.' And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things are now finished, that the scripture might be accomplished, saith, 'I thirst.' There was set there a vessel full of vinegar. So they put a sponge full of vinegar upon hyssop and brought it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross upon the Sabbath, for the day of that Sabbath was an high day, asked of Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. The soldiers therefore came and brake the legs of the first, and of the other that was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. Howbeit, one of the soldiers, with a spear, pierced his side, and straightway there came out blood and water." Verse 36. "While these things came to pass, that the scripture might be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture which says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. Verse 38. And after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked of Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took away his body. And there came also Nicodemus, who at the first came to him by night, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. So they took the body of Jesus, and bound it in linen cloths, with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, wherein was never man yet laid. There, then, because of the Jews' preparation, for the tomb was nigh at hand, they laid Jesus. And now, verse 19, skipping all that transpired in between, verse 19, when therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said this, he showed unto them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all of these passages that we have read. We thank you that you've told us about the Lord Jesus from the beginning of his life to the end of his life. And with all of us, that would be the end. But our God, we are thankful that for Christ, it was the beginning. We remember that John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, and the Savior said to him, Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. We thank you for the one of whom we speak this morning, the Jesus of the cross, but also, Father, Jesus after the cross. So from the portions that we've read, thou dost know the blessing, just hearing these words inspired by thy Spirit, but empower that something might be said, giving us some light about them, and prepare our hearts to receive the truth, and empower him to speak the truth. And we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Some did things for Jesus reluctantly and under compulsion, and some did things to Jesus out of hate and animosity and out of an animal-like nature. And some did things to Jesus because they loved him and they wanted to show their respect. And so some of these things were done before reaching Golgotha, and then some were done while Christ hung on the cross, and some of these things occurred after the cross. There is so much, and what causes us to marvel is this. How small a biography we have of the life of Christ, and yet each of the events that I've read to you is a thrilling event, and entire books have been written on one event in the life of Christ, not just the life of Christ, and that is what is so thrilling, how God is able to compress and put so much into a book that we wish were larger. But we thank God for what he's given us. Now, I told you last week about one who did something for Jesus. Jesus and his cross. Of all things, one man had the great honor to carry the cross for Jesus. Simon. It says they laid hold on him. They compelled him to bear the cross. What he thought of it then, and later on, when he discovered who Jesus was and what he thought of it, that was a different matter. But concerning the cross and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, Sometimes fear of death and association with Jesus makes men cowards, and they flee. It happened even to Peter, who boasted that he was prepared to die for the Lord Jesus. But the death of the Lord Jesus in the lives of some brings out a courage that they never knew that was there. And here are some that do something for Jesus after he was crucified for Jesus that they would not do for Jesus before he was crucified. I'm so glad that God gave us the Gospel of John as well as that of Matthew and Mark and Luke, because you would have known nothing about Nicodemus. Can you imagine living without knowing this verse? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And you read in John 3 that these words were probably spoken by Jesus to Nicodemus. And what happens is this, that Nicodemus tried feebly at one time in his life before Christ was crucified to stand up for him. His fellow members of the Sanhedrin were criticizing Christ, and Nicodemus said this, "Doth our law condemn a man before it first hear what he says and what he does?" And then they rebuked him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and see that out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And we hear no more about Nicodemus. Some are afraid. Joseph of Arimathea, a secret disciple. But what happens is this, that the crucifixion of Christ that caused Peter to become a coward and the other disciples to flee, in the case of Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, it brought out courage in them. And they went and asked for the body of Jesus. Now, some of the things that we read, the Lord Jesus specifically knew had to occur before he could say, "It is finished." Think of this now. In agony, having suffered to the point of death, he remembered that there was one thing that was prophesied of him that had not been fulfilled. And it was this. It was that in Psalm 69, "They gave me also gall for my food, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." And Jesus, knowing that, said, "I thirst." And then, here is a remarkable parallel, that when the blood of the lamb in Egypt was shed, they took hyssop and dipped it in that blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel. And now when the blood of Christ is shed, they take hyssop and put on it a sponge and dip it in vinegar and put it to the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here is what God tells us, that our Savior knew the end from the beginning, and he knew what scriptures had to be fulfilled, and for that reason he said, "I thirst." And to show how God has ordained all things, what if there were no vinegar to give to him? But there was a jar of vinegar set there, and a sponge, and hyssop.
And so the scripture was fulfilled?
We would say, what a coincidence. It shows the power of God. It shows that everything that's written in the Old Testament about Christ was fulfilled, and that gives us courage to believe that everything that is written in the New Testament about Christ is going to be fulfilled. But now, to show you how God watches over things, how the providence of God is brought so prominently before us, in Isaiah 53, it says that he made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. We've seen him crucified with wicked malefactors, but we haven't seen him have his grave made with the rich in his death. And so the Lord Jesus is now dead. He has no more words to utter, and humanly speaking, all his strength is gone. Well, how is that scripture going to be fulfilled about where he's going to be buried? God providentially sees about that. Here is Joseph of Arimathea, and he happens to have a new tomb wherein never man ever yet was laid, and he had the courage to go and ask the Pilate to give the body to Jesus, and the Jews would like to have him treated the way the criminals were treated. But God said no. So it shows what the Jews would do to Jesus and what God prevented them from doing. And it shows their ferocity. And at the same time, it shows their powerlessness to do to Jesus what God said you cannot do to Jesus. Think. They are buffeting Jesus. They are lashing Jesus, scourging him. They are sticking a spear in his side. They are putting nails in his hands and in his feet. And yet God had prophesied this in Exodus 12 and Numbers 9 and Psalm 34. Not a bone of him shall be broken. And with all of their viciousness, God said, you're not going to be able to break one bone in my son's body. And they were not able to do it. And whereas they did not want to denounce who he was, Pilate said, put over his head, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And the Jews said, do not put that. Put, he said he was King of the Jews. Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. And so do you not see that whereas, even though Christ had said to his enemies, this is your hour and the power of darkness, do you not see that all is in the hand of God? When Pilate said, do you not realize that I have power to crucify you and I have power to release you? The Lord Jesus said, you would have no power against me at all, except it were given thee from above. So here is man, and it's his power and the hour of darkness, and yet he can only do so much for the Lord Jesus. But while some are doing their worst, trying to humiliate him, causing him to suffer, torturing him, there are others who love him and would do something for him. But even those who would do something for him are prevented in this sense. Before a man is crucified, so that the pain that is so great could be borne, they give him a mixture of wine mingled with gall, that it might put him out of his mind, so that he would not know what was going on. And so they give it to Jesus, and he tastes it, and he knows what it would do to his mind, and he rejects it, he will not receive it. Why? Because when he bore your sins in his body on the tree, he's going to feel every agony, every pain. He's not going to do it in a delirious manner, out of his mind, but he's going to do it purposely. He himself said in John chapter 10, he said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life for the sheep, that I may take it again. And I told you that they were not able to break a bone in his body. And the Lord Jesus said, I have power, the authority from my Father, to lay down my life. And I have authority from my Father to take it again. And so it was impossible for them, had Christ not permitted them to take his body, to take his life. And they think that they have him in their power. But it says, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you, by the hands of lawless men, did crucify and slay. You see, God is in control, though it looks as if this is man's power of darkness. And he will do his worst to Christ. He will do only what God allows them to do to his son. And he allows them to do this. And I'm telling you things that were done for Christ before the cross. And one of the things done for Christ is this. Man made a crown for him.
A thorn.
And put it on his head. And man took a royal robe and put it upon him. And they took a reed and put it in his hand. And they knelt before him and said, Hail, King of the Jews. Do you see what some men did for the Lord Jesus? This they did for the pleasure of mockery and hatred and the joy of seeing man suffer. And God said, you may do that. And he permitted Pilate to have him scourged. He said, you may do that. He permitted the soldier to pierce his side. He permitted that. But there is one thing he did not permit them to do. That is to touch the body of Jesus after he died. He said, people that love me, that love my son, they are going to attend to my son. They're going to reverently take him down from that cross, and they are going to give him the honor that is due his name. Think, 100 pounds of spices to put upon the body of Jesus, to wrap him in fine linen. And then, please notice, that before the Lord Jesus entered Jerusalem, there had to be an animal upon which never man had sat, and that animal was available. And there had to be a tomb in which never man had lain, and that tomb was available. And this is what is going to happen, as I told you through life, that God works all things together for good in your life and my life, as well as in the life of the Son. You think of Joseph in the Old Testament being sold as a slave and cast into prison. Joseph said to his brethren, you meant it against me, but God meant it for good. Understand that all things are in the power of God. All things are in his hand. This is what was told to this potentate. He said, the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified, and now God is going to dethrone you this night. And so let us not fear what happens to our Savior and what happens to us. Understand that as he told Satan in heaven, you can only go so far. So he says concerning us, and so he says concerning his Son. But I would tell you for a moment the marvelous goodness of Christ and his thought for others, when for you and me our thought would only be for herself. His mother is standing by the cross, watching her son be crucified.
And the Lord Jesus knows that someone should care for his mother.
It says his brethren did not believe on him in John chapter 7. And so this is what happens. John, the beloved apostle, is standing there with Mary, his mother. And he turns to the apostle and he says, behold thy mother. And he says to his mother, woman, behold thy son. He says, John, she is your mother. He says, mother, he is your son. On the cross, the Lord Jesus makes provision for his mother. And not only that, but on the cross, he snatches one sinner out of the fires of hell, and he says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So the Lord Jesus, his whole life long, even when he's hanging on the cross, with his hands crucified, his feet crucified, he can do nothing. He can do all that's necessary with the words of his mouth. And so think of those now who have done things for the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus asked for a few things in life. Some of them he got. Some he did not get. And one thing he asked for was the upper room in which he celebrated the Passover and the Lord's Supper. And he said, tell the good man of the house that we need that. And he gave it to him. And he said, go into the city. There is a mother and her colt.
And I need that donkey. Send it to me. And they did. And so some things the Lord Jesus asked for, he was given. And other things,
he was not given. Do you remember when at the well at Samaria, he said to the woman, give me the drink. She probably would have, but she was so enthralled with the words that proceeded from his mouth that she went away and left her water pot. And so some things the Lord Jesus asked for and received, and some things he did not receive, and some things he did not ask for. Who asked Mary to come and anoint him with that alabaster box of ointment? And man would criticize her for doing that good deed. The Savior said, wherever this gospel is preached, what this woman's done for me, it shall be as a memorial for her. The Lord Jesus never forgets what he's done for him. And some people want to do things for him. Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, they will never be forgotten because they took care of the Lord Jesus when he was taken down from the cross. All of these things that happened to the Lord Jesus before the cross, why, God had someone to help him when his strength failed. And I want you to understand this. God had someone to help him. You say, how do you know his strength failed? Because he said in Psalm 102 concerning his father, he weakened my strength in the way. That is why. And in the garden, the father who weakened his strength sent the angel to give him some strength. And on the cross, you say, well, on the cross, the father helped him, supported him. Just the opposite. The Lord Jesus said that on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
He is the one who on the cross alone, and that was the final
blow that would crush him. He said this. He said, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, and there was none. And for comforters, but found none. And he said this to his disciples. He said, all of you are going to forsake me and flee. You're going to leave me alone. He said, yet I am not
alone,
but my Father is with me.
And then
his God, his Father, I take them to be the same. There on the cross, his Father did not support him, but his God forsook him. And this is the only man who has ever experienced a loneliness like unto no other man. All his friends forsook him. Some things Jesus asked for and never received. He said to Peter, James, and John, watch and pray with me 1 hour. And he found them asleep. And his Father, he said, my Father is with me. I am not alone. And his Father forsook him. And so this is your Savior. And so you say, well, all is done.
No. All is done, yes. It was necessary to say, your soul.
And to say, my soul. But that is just the beginning. And for that reason, he has Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus to take his son and bury him. And then the third day, he rises from the dead. Because I told you that there were some things that man could not do to Jesus that they wanted to. All the power of Rome put him in a tomb and had a stone put over it and put a seal on it and said, Rome says this seal, this tomb is not to be touched. And we heard this morning a little one say that an angel came from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. And so Rome said, we are going to keep him in that tomb. And the Father said, you are not going to keep him in that tomb. Because he said in John chapter 2, in 3 days I will raise it up. Just this. The Lord Jesus had that authority from the Father to lay down his life. And he did. And he had the authority to take it up again. But from what we see in the scripture, he never used that authority himself. But just as it says in Psalm 2, the Father says to the Son, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And so the Lord Jesus in the coming day is going to say, Father, I want my kingdom, and the Father will give it to him.
And here, the Lord Jesus, who had that authority to raise himself from the dead, you nowhere find in the Word of God that he did. It said Jesus, who was raised from the dead
by the glory of the Father. It says, the Father who raised up Jesus shall raise us up. And so there are some things that Jesus could do that he did not do. But the things that he did not do, he said, Father, do this for me. And some out of love and gratitude do things for Jesus without even being asked.
Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus.
Now I said, after the cross. I know what the two did that cared for his body, and what are we to do?
It says in Hebrews chapter 13,
it said, Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Well, what is that to you? It says, let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. The Lord Jesus said to the Father,
the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell upon me. And now he says, I want
the reproaches that fell upon me on the cross to fall upon you. So this Easter morning, let us go forth without the camp, bearing his reproach. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the mysteries of life
that we are unable to comprehend until we get to the other side of some of them. And then we understand. It's been so with Job in the Old Testament, with Joseph. It's been so with Jesus.
And Father, it's been so with some of us, but we haven't seen the end of it yet. We haven't had it explained to us. But the thing that has been explained is this. Now is Christ risen, the first fruits of them that slept, and we rejoice in this. And you have promised him a kingdom, and the Lord Jesus has promised to those that have given up and followed him. He said, in the kingdom you shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. We thank you, Father, for the glorious future.
If not in this life.
In the next life, associating life eternal with Christ. And so we thank thee for this morning, celebrating again, after some 2,000 years, that Christ is risen indeed. We give you thanks for him, Father, who is seated at thy right hand, and we would cry out with heaven. It says this, power, riches, honor, glory, blessing, all of these things be Christ. And every voice in the universe said, amen. And that is our prayer as well. We thank you for Jesus Christ our Lord, the one whom you raised from the dead by your glory. Thank you for him, Father. Amen.